We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guests are Jacob Carlson and Ian Buchanan. Jacob graduated from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse with a business management major with emphasis in marketing, along with a minor in sustainable business. Jacob specializes in customer lifecycle marketing, focusing on customer retention and brand loyalty for Concentrix? Mm-hmm. Yes. As a program coordinator, where he is employed full-time. Jacob is also the co-founder of Helium, which is a new startup in Milwaukee dedicated to bringing books to readers. Ian learned the necessity of relationship building to success while part owner and operator of a budding lawn care business in high school. Now with his lifelong friend and past business partner, Jacob and Ian have launched Helium, a free book delivery service offered in his hometown of Milwaukee. Ian works full-time in a financial consultant role, spending nights and weekends developing Helium, much of his time being spent leveraging connections in an effort to grow the business. Jacob and Ian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lori. We're so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Lori.
Yeah, lots of cool things to talk about, and I'm really interested in learning more about Helium. So let's maybe just dive into that a little bit. What is Helium?
Yeah, I can take that one, no problem. Helium is an idea that came to me a little over 2 years ago when I was at a local library. Coming out of college, I knew that reading was going to be kind of my ticket to any career that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a big reader leading up to that. I would read textbooks in college. But I didn't really have much time to read on my own. So the interest kind of developed from there, and I noticed a big inefficiency within the system. Libraries have, you know, limited books at each library, but the Milwaukee County system works together. So they share resources. And I realized if I wanted a book at my local library, it might not be there, but it might be at a library a few miles away. Mm-hmm. So why not take that step out of it, take my travel out of it, and have someone do it for me? So that's where the idea came for Helium, where we deliver the books for you. We bring them from the library that they're at within the system to your desired location.
Cool.
Yeah.
What methods and avenues have you explored while trying to build your network and getting the message out about Helium?
That's a good question. You know, recently it's just been reaching out to a lot of different media outlets and media mediums. Really just following up via email and, you know, working connections that we've either had from the past, whether it be through school or even family, friends, and really just making sure of, hey, this is our idea. This is Helium, and selling more or less right now the idea rather than us. So that's where, as long as we can start getting out there a little bit, we can showcase our personalities, which full-heartedly align with Helium and what it stands for.
Yeah. And yeah, sorry to add on to that a little bit. Leading up to the launch, a lot of it was just plain old-fashioned outreach. We have been fortunate enough to be in local media publications such as BizTimes on Milwaukee.
I was going to say, I think I saw you in BizTimes fairly recently.
Yeah, we actually saw the magazine on your...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
That's a nice warm welcome. Yeah, so we've been... I mean, all that just came from cold reach outs, just presenting our idea, getting it out there.
Awesome.
And it happened to be captivating enough to get attention. So that was great.
Great. So growth for business in general is specifically a startup can be quite an endless activity. How have you and how are you tackling this, especially while you're working full time?
Yeah, I think we can both touch on this a little bit.
Yeah.
It's tough, obviously. You're working from 9 to 5 and you're devoting that time to the job that's generating your income, and you have to, and that's the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's really taking advantage and leveraging your nights and weekends, from our opinion. Like I was saying to Jacob when we were kind of preparing for this a little bit last night, we haven't turned the TV on in I think a few days. So I mean, we're just kind of pedal to the metal, nose to the grindstone, doing what we need to do day to day to, get the business from our perspective as it is right now, growing faster and faster.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to time management.
Oh, absolutely.
Any advice you can offer on, you know, still having somewhat of a social life and engaging with family and friends as well?
I think just setting priorities. And again, even just your note about time management is absolutely huge because, you know, you're tied down to so many obligations outside of work, just in life, with hanging out with friends, family affairs, etc., let alone running a business on the side. So exactly what Ian mentioned before, where, you know, leveraging the nights and weekends, we know that that's a priority for us. And, you know, we'll do whatever we can to, you know, put the best foot forward and put Helium in a better light than the day before. And obviously it's going to come with sacrifices. So whether that be, you know, a friend inviting us to, you know, watch the Packer game on Monday night, well, as much as we want to, you know, enjoy a taco bar, maybe some, you know, adult beverages as well, there's got to be a fine line of, okay, this is what we're set out to do. We're making time for this in Helium, and it's just, this is our current priority. So it's, it sometimes can be hard for friends and family members to maybe understand that or wrap the head around, but for the most part, they've done
a good job. I'm sure.
And another good recent example, even today, we try to get a blog post out and written every week. But this week,
good for you.
It is hard.
We've had success up to this point. This was the first week, however, that we realized it just wasn't going to be possible. We just had other obligations that we had to get to. So, you know, it's unfortunate at times, but you realize, you know, sacrificing for what you deem is more important because you only have 24 hours. So.
This is true.
But at least we'll have a blog post about this podcast down the road. So I guess it all it all evens out in the long run.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. when you said, you know, going to a Packers game and you hang out with friends or whatever, I think I have every one of my friends' Wi-Fi password saved in my laptop because they're used to me going, sure, I'll come over, but I'm going to be working. I want to just be like around the social activities and I'll you know, work for a little bit and then chit-chat for a little bit, but you know, I'm not getting as much work done, but I'm still making progress towards some of my goals. And it's pretty commonplace now that, you know, they see the backpack come in, I'm like, oh, they know what's up.
they know it's about to go down.
But they get it, you know, like, hey, if you want to hang out with me, this is the way we're going to have to hang out, unfortunately. Otherwise, you're not going to see me at all. So
We're lucky to have supportive friends too, and family that understand our situation.
Very cool. Well, the purpose of this podcast is really to focus on networking and help alleviate any fear that someone might have around networking. So can either of you share a successful or favorite networking story that you've had to help our listeners alleviate some of those fears?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say look no further than, you know, our mutual friend and actually a family friend of ours is Martha Kerrigan. And they've just been a huge, huge blessing, obviously, to my family and me in general outside of Helium, but even Helium in general. I mean, just from the standpoint of, you know, sharing it with their, you know, network of, you know, friends and family members of exactly what we're doing and also using the service of free book delivery right now. And this is just something where outside of that, that's more than enough support that we want, but they've even, you know, taken it a step further with their generosity and actually offered free banner advertising on their job networking sites called Big Shoes Network. There's a plug for you, Martha. And, you know, really just getting it out there. And this is for a full year and it's going to have, you know, thousands of unique visitors to those different sites every month. And just what a great platform for us to get out. So we were really close family friends. I actually went to the same elementary school as both of their sons, as did my sister. So when you're at a small private school, you really develop those, you know, relationships with each other and, you know, ultimately family members as well. So from there, it's truly blossomed.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And Martha is fantastic. She's been on a guest twice now on Social Capital. And she's actually guest lectured in some of the classes I teach at UW-Milwaukee. She's just fantastic.
She is fantastic.
All right. So how do you stay in front of and best nurture these relationships that you're creating?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think it's something we all struggle with, but something so simple as just following up. and staying in contact with one another. I think we all get inundated, whether it be on LinkedIn, through email, with connection requests and, you know, pleads for our time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that time, we just let that go by the wayside.
Yep.
We deem it not important. But for the main connections that do stick, I think it's important to just go beyond that initial meeting. Even if you're following up through email or LinkedIn consistently, letting them know how you're progressing and how the meeting that you did have really helped you develop yourself and grow in this past however long it's been since you talked last. You know, you do have to carve out the time for that. That has to become a priority. But I think it's really crucial if you want to build a strong, lasting network.
And even just to continue off that, I mean, again, just going over prioritization of it is mm-hmm. each day I try to take out, because we're reaching out to, you know, local podcasters like mm-hmm. yourself. We're reaching out to different media outlets and really just carving the time, whether it's, you know, midday or whether you get home right from work or maybe in the morning, and just saying, okay, here's everything that's outstanding where we haven't heard from them in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. You know, either send an email if that doesn't work. We're exploring different options into really just getting a foot in the door with these, you know, whether it's, you know, a blog writer, et cetera, really just making sure we're staying in front of them.
Nice.
Yeah. Another, to dovetail off of that even again.
that's okay.
So we, Jacob nor I, have a technical background. The website's built from a drag and drop editor. Uh-huh. Not through extensive coding work. So what I've done in the past to kind of seek out that technical help is I just reached out to local programmers. And one of them that I've had a couple meetings with, we haven't talked in a bit. So today even I just reached out to him, trying to touch base, see how he's been, and mm-hmm. see if he would like to meet again. Because sure. that is still a need that we have in our business
sure.
to grow it to a scalable level.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
For me, I kind of touched it on it already. Just try. Just make a point to reach out. Mm-hmm. I did read a book a few months ago. I forget the title of it, but the whole purpose of it was to just set aside time each and every day to mm-hmm. reach out to people that you think could be valuable to add to your network.
Sure.
And there's a bunch of different strategies to do so. Mm-hmm. You know, what I've done in the past that's worked is just search titles of positions on LinkedIn for the people that you're looking to meet.
Okay.
I think it's more important to look up in the ladder for mentorship. And then even if you're at that higher level already, look down to see if you can be the mentor to someone else. Everyone's out there looking for help. And if they get a reach out from someone who's above them, they're even more likely to foster that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And ultimately, aren't too many excuses in terms of not being able to reach out. And especially if you have a passion, whether that be, you know, a simple case would just be in your career growth. I mean, you can essentially create and own your own roadmap from, you know, mm-hmm. other people with a certain job title maybe that you're aspiring to have. And then maybe not just reaching out to that one person who might be, you know, upper management, by all means do it. But even just creating those roadmaps and just saying, okay, these three people all got there in different ways.
Yep.
Maybe reaching out to them and just saying, hey, do you mind, you know, even just grabbing a cup of coffee, pick their brain a little bit, and even any advice or input that they've had. Because no matter what, each person has their own unique story and their own unique path to where they are and sitting today. And everyone has a story to share, and it's definitely worth listening to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that's why I love the podcast, actually. Getting everyone's story. I think it's fun to hear everyone's perspective and path that they've taken to where they are and how they've gotten to where they are today. So we covered LinkedIn a little bit, mm-hmm. and you talked about blogging. And obviously, traditional networking is important, too. But between digital and traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I think we might have different answers on this. Maybe not. I'm definitely more introverted personality-wise. I know Jacob is on the other side of the spectrum. What? Yeah, big surprise. So I kind of tend to gravitate towards that digital.
Okay.
Definitely not anything against your traditional networking. For me, it's just a little bit more intimidating. And when I do want to do some networking, I'm not going to let that stop me.
Mm-hmm.
But when, you know, I'm just deciding to devote some time to it, I think digital, one, is more accessible to me. I can do it from my phone or my computer. I don't have to wait for a certain event. But going back to the traditional way, I think you can also find networking opportunities really through any interaction. You know, whether you're just in a social setting out for a night on the town or whatever, you can find people and talk with people that, you know, you may never have even thought of reaching out to.
Sure.
They could expose you to new ideas and all that. So just staying, having an open mind is very important.
Absolutely.
Well, it might actually shock you, Ian Buchanan. as much as I do value just that face-to-face interaction and that quote-unquote traditional type of networking, just with digital networking in today's day and age, you just have more poles in the water. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to get a response and connect with people instead of, you know, maybe just having two or three poles in the water where, you know, you're trying to follow up or meet them at a certain obligation or event. So it's really easier to get what you are wanting out of it through digital networking. Mm-hmm. But obviously that should ultimately blossom to the traditional networking, meeting with them face to face, you know, if they're in the same geographical space. So I think maybe a happy medium between the two. Now that I'm talking, I'm not sure, but I would say digital.
And there's so many resources out there digitally. There's even an app that's, it kind of works like, you know, Tinder does for dating.
Sure.
It's swipe right, swipe left for connections. It's called Shaper.
Yeah.
And I've used that a lot in the past to connect with people all over the country, really. Had phone conversations with people in California, Chicago, and then that's led to meetups here in Milwaukee as well.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Like Jacob said, starting digital and going traditional is a good route.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of my guests will advocate for both to some degree, but it's some want to go digital to traditional and some go the other way, traditional to digital. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to fry that fish once you've got all those poles in the water. I like that analogy. I hadn't heard that one before. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, not too long ago, but if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional careers?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Yeah, I mean, not to harp too much on it, but just do something. Because I was just so, I mean, being introverted, I was just so passive, and I knew, I mean, I guess I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew that finance or accounting-related role was in my future coming out of graduation. So I would just look on our university job board and then kind of do the prep work as needed and the networking as needed once I got invited to potentially interview or that first step. So I think being more active about the whole process would have been a lot more helpful in not only helping me find out what I want to do coming out of school, but also as I progress through any job hiring process.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think for me, Lori, I think it's just taking a step back and applying some type of focus. I think especially, you know, just at the undergraduate level, in my experience, it's so easy to just get bogged down in, you know, just certain capstone classes, whether you have a job or not. And one thing I wish I would have done is sticking with the American Marketing Association at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, something I did my junior year, absolutely loved it. Just the exposure to, you know, certain projects that sometimes in class, depending on how it's scoped out and set up, you have that type of experience with. But the AMA, you just opened up so many different doors. And, you know, I was debating whether or not to do it my senior year just because at the time I had, you know, a part-time job, you know, full boat of 18 credits, let alone a couple capstone classes for my minor and my major. And so I just thought that at the time, this is what's best for me. But looking back, if I really had that focus and taken a step back and, hey, what's going to be best for me down the road, which is tough to see for any 20-year-old, but just taking that step back and really applying for what's going to be the best for me.
Yeah, but absolutely. I think that that's good insights. And it's not only just telling yourself, but any other 20-year-olds that are listening now and hopefully influencing them to make some positive decisions regarding their professional career. All right, so you've got an app all around books. I'm just curious, what are you guys reading right now?
The book I'm currently reading is called Bad Blood by John Kirirou. It's kind of an expose on Theranos, a Silicon Valley startup that was once valued at $9 billion back in 2013, I think it was, and has gone defunct since. It really just details kind of how everything was a fraud from the get-go.
Interesting.
And it's kind of one of the biggest, like, cautionary tales in startup land. So good to learn from.
I have not heard of that one.
I think it came out a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Fyre Festival as you're saying that. I don't know if there's any relation there.
Might be a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Both are frauds.
Yeah. And what about you?
And I'm reading, and actually just finished reading, gosh, I want to say yesterday, maybe the day before. It's called Untethered Soul, okay. A Journey Beyond Yourself. And it's really just focused on awareness and consciousness and really taking a step back. And the books I have been reading within maybe the last month or month and a half have really just been tailored around, I mean, it sounds a little morbid, but, you know, pain and suffering and ultimately death. And really, when we think about it, when we think about it, this is something where, you know, we're always trying to avoid pain. We're always trying to avoid this suffering. And when really we should be doing the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. We should find out, hey, what are those passions that you have? And really find out, you know, what you're willing to struggle through and really put meaning towards your suffering.
Yep.
And so this has been something this whole year I've been, you know, kind of just going back and forth about and finally just applying and reading more about it and getting a better understanding. And there's a great term. It's called amor fati, and it's actually the love of one's fate. And so this is, you know, going hand in hand with the pain and the suffering and just making sure exactly what happens to me, I'm letting it come in and letting it go and not choosing to dwell on any negativities, but actually embracing it.
Cool.
Yeah. Very Buddhist point of view.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Take what comes.
Seems really interesting. Both of these books sound really interesting. My reading list, now that I ask this question all the time, my book to read list is extremely
too long.
And so maybe one day I'll get to it, but we'll see. They both sound really interesting. All right, so I'm going to turn the microphone over to you to lead and give you the opportunity to interview me. So what's something you'd like to ask me? Surprise.
I guess being another owner of a business, what early on back in, say, 10 years ago or whatever it was, what advice would you have for us when we're starting out?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many things. One, I'd say find a mentor, someone that has been in your shoes or similar shoes, but is maybe 5 to 10 years out of where you are, so that you can learn from them, and surround yourself with some others that are in a very similar space. So one of the best things that I ever did was joined Agency Management Institute, which is basically a roundtable for other agency owners across the country. So I'm getting together with these a dozen other agency owners twice a year, and we're just talking through what's working, what's not working, some of the pains that we have. I think that was a big game changer just in general in running my business. And the other thing that I'd say is you don't have to do everything yourself. You know, don't waste your time and energy trying to learn all of the new systems. Find someone that's already invested the time and invest in them and find someone you can trust, I guess, in that space. So otherwise you're going to spread yourself way too thin. But it sounds like to some degree you've done some of that.
Yeah. Trying to.
Yeah. Sounds like the underlying theme again is just networking, using your network.
It is. Build the relationships.
Exactly. Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Of course.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah, we're always reaching out for help.
Awesome. Yeah, great question. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I mean, to steal from Nike here, but just do it. Yeah. I mean, don't be afraid to take gambles, take risks, bet on yourself. You know, ultimately we're, you know, in American culture, sometimes we just come from a more conservative approach on many things, but you know, even looping back to what I was saying earlier about the books, pain and suffering is out there no matter what you do. So as long as you pick and choose what you're passionate about and go pursue it, you know, there's always going to be other opportunities down the road. Obviously, some are more fortunate than others to be a little more inclined to take risks depending on financial factors or, you know, everything else that can factor into it. But otherwise, go for it.
Awesome.
Yeah. To harp on that again. Yeah. I mean, it sounds easy. Just do it. But I think it's well, it sounds simple, but I don't think it's easy. I think you're gonna deal with a lot of like rejection or just mm-hmm. no responses if you reach out to people. And I mean, that's fine. Just brush it off. I mean, don't be resentful towards them for not getting back to you or not trying to build a connection that you wanted. Mm-hmm. Just move on to the next person. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Like Jacob was saying, push through that pain, just accept it and seek out more, honestly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in touch with either of you, what would be the best way that they can reach you?
Personally, I guess we could do it from a business perspective. Ian@heliumbooks.com.
Okay.
You can email me anytime you like.
Yeah. And then Jacob@heliumbooks.com.
Okay.
You can also find us on LinkedIn, Ian yep. Buchanan and Jacob Carlson.
Cool. All right. And we will include all of that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was fun. It goes fast.
Yeah,
right?
First timers, and it was a real treat. So thank you, Lori.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Ian and Jacob for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.